What are we supposed to be living? And my mic does not want to stay up there. Thank you, Herman, for pointing that out to me. How we want to walk in this new year. And as we look at this thought this morning, we're going to continue looking at the steps that is given in this portion of Scripture. And remember, Paul was talking to the church of Ephesus. And he said to the church of Ephesus, I beseech you, I beg you, out of love, I want you to get this. Out of love, church, the church of Ephesus, I want you to see some truths that will help you in your Christian walk, your Christian life. And as we approach it the first Sunday, I said, out of love, I want each of us to see some of these truths that Paul was telling this church, that we as a church today, as New Testament believers today, need to glean to our own lives. And we looked at this thought of walking worthy. We talked what it meant about what it means to walk worthy, honorable of our vocation, of our responsibilities, of what we're supposed to be doing. We looked at walking in unity. And we talked about being unified together for a cause and for a purpose. We talked about the idea of walking in grace. We talked about the idea of walking distinctly different. We looked at the idea of walking delivered. And this morning we're going to look at the idea of walking in peace. Walking in peace. Now, as we'll see, a lot of this whole portion ties together with what we've looked at before. Paul talks about certain things. Remember, we talked about walking as a Gentile, not as a Gentile walks. And then now we're going to see some other truths. We looked at the putting off, putting on. We're going to come to a portion of Scripture that's going to tell us some other things that we're to put off and how we're to walk in our lives. But this idea I want us to see this morning is as we walk and as we live in this year of 2022 in our lives, we're to walk in peace. If you're able to, please stand with me. So read from Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 26. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse number 26 this morning. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, as we look at your scriptures this morning, Lord, we ask that you would just remove distractions if it's here or it's at home watching. Lord, we ask for your power. We ask that we hear from you. Lord, we ask that you would just do a work in our lives this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Walking in peace. Now, it's interesting as we look at this verse. This is a verse that many people have known, verse 26, and have heard. Be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon thy wrath. And keep in context of all that's been talking about here, because even verse 27 ties back to this. Even the verse 25 ties into this. This all comes together. Remember, as this is being taught, as this is being given, they didn't have chapters and verses as we do. This is a continual thought, if you will, of all that's going on and all that's happening here. And he's saying, with all that is done, be angry and sin not. So how do we walk in peace? We be angry and sin not. What does that mean? It means we can have a righteous anger. We can be upset, if you will, about the same things that God would be upset about. What is God upset about? What is God angry with? Well, we looked at this morning during family hour. God was upset and God was angry with them because of some of the things they were choosing to do. They didn't get rid of the false gods. They didn't get rid of those things, but they took them on. They even married who they weren't supposed to marry and all those things. We read a portion of Scripture out of Genesis. God was angry with them and he repented. He even made man and woman because of the sin and the wickedness, but God found grace in the sight of Noah. God gets angry about sin. We can be angry and sin not if we have the right spirit, the right heart, and we get angry about the right things. We get angry about people not doing right. We get angry at ourselves for not serving God the way we should, because we allow sin in our lives. It's dealing with that. But how do we walk in peace? We walk in peace by dealing with things the way God would deal with them. Now, this keeps this in mind in the context here. It goes right into this. Be angry and sin not. Have a righteous anger. Deal with that sin. Deal with those things. It doesn't mean you cover up things. It means you deal with it. Many times in our lives, we don't want to deal with things. It's okay to deal with things. Because when we don't deal with it, we're going to look at later next week probably, we're going to look at the latter verses of this chapter, and this is a picture of those that don't deal with sin, don't deal with their anger, don't deal with the things. It leads to what verse 31 and verse 32 tells us, and that takes place, and we're going to get into this. But as we look at this thought here, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon the wrath. It means this: you have to deal with it God's way, and you have to make sure you're at peace before you lay your head down and go to sleep. You get things resolved. You take care of the issue that is at hand. You keep that short account with God, and you don't let the day end without quieting your spirit before God. How many times have you got angry, maybe about the right things, righteous anger? But then all of a sudden, you're sitting in your bed and you're stewing. I mean, you're stewing. I mean, Brother Dave did something terrible to you. He was wrong with God, not right with God. He sinned against God. He sinned against you. He did evil in your sight. And that's righteous anger. You can be upset about him. But let me tell you, the Bible says if someone is offending you, someone's done something against you, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go. You're supposed to seek forgiveness on both ends. You're to get it settled. You get it taken care of away so God can quiet your spirit and you can go to sleep at night and you can still have peace and still be serving God. This idea of dealing with things to have peace. The problem was going on. The church, there was problems in the church. There was problems of people not doing things right. And what Paul was saying, I beseech you, church, I want you to walk certain ways, but I want you to understand you need to deal with the sin in the church, but you need to have a peace about it, and you need to make sure that you resolve it as much as you can on your end so you're able to have a calm spirit about you in your life. Do you know, there's a lot of times you and I aren't at peace. We don't have that calmness in our lives because we haven't taken care of the issue at hand. We've gotten upset about it. Now, some of you are different than others. I understand. Some of us like to deal things right away. Some of you like to let things kind of try to help solve themselves sometimes. And usually, sometimes that just leads to other issues because you haven't really solved the issue. You haven't really taken care of the issue. And it leads to bigger problems. And I understand we got to be careful how we do it. But we need to make sure, no matter what the circumstance is, that we deal with it. How do we deal with it? We need to seek God. You know, if you're upset, if you got angry about something that you're able, and even if you got angry about things you shouldn't be, you still need to solve that too. Because we're going to talk about that again in verse 31, 32. But you seek God. Ask God to give you a quiet spirit. Ask God to give you peace about it. Ask God to give you the help that you need during that time. Don't go to bed angry. Don't go to bed upset. Don't go to bed with things not solved. It is better to deal with it than try to go to bed and not deal with it. But tying right into this is this next verse that speaks volumes in regards to peace. Is because if we don't deal with it, do you know what we're doing? We're giving place to the devil. Look at the next verse. It's interesting how this ties right into this. It says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon the wrath. Then look at the next verse here. What does it say? The next verse tells us the key here. Neither give place to the devil. Because if I am not at peace, if I have not settled the issues that I have in my life, then I am giving opportunity for the devil to work his way in to my heart and to my life. And when the devil works his way into my heart and my life, it takes me from a place of peace to a place of misery. And I'm giving place to the devil, and I can't walk in peace. We understand sin, right? We know sin. If I sin, I sin against God, and I understand all that's involved in sin against God. But I heard something about this past week that we know, but it just clicked. You know what sin also does? It removes us from our purpose of life. Sin removes us, keeps you from your purpose of life. Because if I have sin and I'm not right with God, I cannot be serving God, and my purpose in life is to be serving Him. So sin keeps me from my purpose. He said, church, make sure you have peace, but don't you let the devil in your life. Don't you give him any place in your life. What gives place to the devil? Well, not dealing with anger, we talked about. The wrong attitude. A disobedient heart. Not keeping that short account with God. Covering up sin. Paul wanted the believer to live triumphantly and not to allow the devil in. Believe in the lies of the devil. How do we give place to the devil? Is when we allow something else besides God and God alone to entertain our hearts and our thoughts and our minds. We have allowed the devil in. Do you know what was happening in this church? It wasn't a wicked church. It had its problems. We can read about a little bit of it even in the book of Revelation, the seven churches and some of the churches. They weren't really wicked, but nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. I have something against you because of where you're at, what you're doing. Do you know, I don't believe we have a wicked church. I don't believe we have wicked people. Now, I know we're desperately wicked, and our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I understand that. I think we have majority of people that want to serve God and live for God, and I believe that's what the church of Ephesus was. But I believe there were some that were struggling because they allowed the devil to have a foothold, a place in their lives. And we have allowed the devil in when we start believing the lies of the devil. I believe many people are, in our world today that claim to be believers are believing the lies of the devil. And allowing the devil to just get in and rip and snort, if you will, and tear their lives apart because they're giving place to the devil. I don't care how good we look on the outside. We only see the outside, but God knows the heart, right? God sees inside. God knows what we're doing. And again, a lot of times we put on a facade. We put on the hypocritical face, if you will. We know how to put the makeup on, all right? We know how to look the part. We know how to act the part. We know how to do it. Now, some of you ladies, you love makeup, and you're really good at makeup. Now, did you know I can do makeup? I can do makeup. I tell you, I actually enjoy doing makeup. I tell you, I even took some classes how to do makeup. Now, the thing is, you probably won't want me to do your makeup. Because the makeup that I can do is clown makeup. Okay, we start with the white, thick, creamy, pasty stuff that comes in a jar like this. You don't want the tube stuff. That's not as good. You want the nice in the can. And you want the stuff that you have to put a little bit of mineral spirits. Oh, you're not supposed to put it on your face. A little bit to thin it out just a little bit so you can put it creamily on. And you put it on and you get a nice even coat with this. And then you go ahead and you take some blush and you take it and you put the blush on just a little bit and smooth it all in. And you put all this in and you put the makeup and you put this all in and you do this nice looking face that's there. And I tell you, the makeup looks great. Now, and a lot of times with a clown, what do? Now, there are some sad clowns and all those, but most of the time you put the big cheesy grin, the Ronald McDonald smile, all right? You put that on the face. Now, what happens when you see that person with that makeup on their face? You run because you're afraid of clowns. How many are afraid of clowns? All right. And you see that, but what don't you see? You don't see their true face. Especially with that type of makeup, with that thick white and all that you put on, you don't see the true self. That person could be the most ugly looking individual that ever walked the face of the earth, and you wouldn't know it. It could be Rex. I mean, it'd be not that. I mean, you could have all that and you don't see the true person. And what is happening today is this. Many individuals have allowed the devil into their lives, yet they have the facade, the clown face, if you will, and people don't even notice. But let me tell you, God knows, and we know, you know, that you have given place to the devil. We believe the lies of the devil. We have that attitude. Paul wanted them to live triumphantly, but they were living defeated lives in the church because the devil has come in. You know why we're defeated? Because I'm not sold out to God. I'm not yielded to God. I've given some area of my life over to the devil. You see, I become a new creature. I'm not to walk as other Gentiles walked. We looked at this. But what happens is this. I have given a spot in my life to someone besides God. It could be a certain hot button issue. It could be a certain attitude. It could be a certain music. It could be a certain, you could put whatever label you want on it. But what we have done is there is some section, some area, some place that I have not given God access to or control over in my life. And when I have taken charge of something in my life, that has given place to the devil. Because who is supposed to be in control of my life? I'm supposed to serve God and God alone. One master, not two masters. I'm supposed to be sold out to Him, yielded to Him. As a believer, I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away, but all things become new. As a believer, what? My life is to be ruled and reigned by Christ Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's supposed to be running my life, not me. But when I say, Lord, you can have this spot, but I'm taking this spot. Lord, I'll give you control of this much area, but I want just about this much area. Lord, we have allowed the devil to get in. Now look at the next verse. This is all going to tie together as we see this about walking in peace. Because I'm to walk in peace. I can't give place to the devil. I got to deal with my anger. I got to deal with it in the right way. I got to have peace when I close my eyes and go to bed. I'm not going to let the sun go down upon my wrath. I'm going to deal with these things. I'm going to be careful not to let the devil in. But look at the next verse here. In verse number 28, let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. When I give place to the devil, when I don't allow God to control my life, I'm going to live and act in ways that I should not be acting. The Bible says there need be a difference. Hey, let him that stole steal no more. Let him that's done evil before change his pathway. Change his way of doing things. Let him that used to be this way as other Gentiles were that we looked at before, don't do the same things that you used to do. Don't give place to the devil. Be honest. Labor. Work with your hands. Let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with people working with their hands, all right? Labor's good. Sweat is okay. All right, we're living in a day and age where people think we should just give handouts to everything that turns around. I know that this is going to go against popular opinions out there in this world. And we need to be able to hand out, and the government needs to give us more money, and all this needs to happen. Let me tell you, nothing's free, and you're paying for it at the grocery store right now. All right, nothing's free. And wait, the Bible says he that works should not eat, all right? Bible's very clear about that. We are to understand that you used to get your things and your gains and your ways of living by doing this honestly. But don't be dishonest anymore. Walk honestly and labor and work for what you have. You know what needs to happen? You know how you have peace? Is when you're doing things God's way. You see, we're to walk in peace. But we need to be doing right, which leads to peace. We need to keep right, but we need to do right, and it leads to peace. How many of you have gotten something, and you've gotten it dishonestly before? Maybe because you lied about something? How many of you have ever sold a car before, and you weren't totally honest about selling the car, but you got a good amount for it? All right, none of you are used car salesmen in here. Some of you know what I mean by the old day used car salesman, right, Brian? I tell you, they would do whatever they could to get you to buy a car. Now, this idea is this. If we do things the wrong way, we're not going to have peace because we're not walking the right way. We need to do things honestly. You know what we need to do in 2022? The believer should be the most honest individual that you ever come in contact with. That means everything about you, the way you're doing it, don't do the way the world's doing it. Don't be dishonest about those things. Be honest, be true, be right in those things. Now look a little further here. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You know how we give place to the devil? Is by evil speech. Evil communication. Let no corrupt. That idea of corrupt is that idea that is given here of rotten, bad. That word it carries a corrupt is rotten speech, bad speech. Now, what is rotten speech? Well, I understand that words have changed. Meanings have changed. Things are different. But let me give you a simple definition of what I believe it means by corrupt communication. Number one, corrupt communication is anything that distorts the truth. Number two, corrupt communication is anything that takes away from God and points it to man. That's the simple definition in truth. Corrupt communication takes away from God and points to man or anything that distorts the truth. You see, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Don't let rottenness come out of your mouth. Now, please don't get too grossed out. Could you imagine? Every time you open your mouth, vomit would just protrude out. I mean, every time you would go and you open, you know what? That's how some people talk. You see, the Bible says don't let any corrupt communication, don't let any rotten talk, don't let any of that come out of your mouth. Why? Because to walk in peace, you need to have the right language, the right speech that identifies who you belong to. You get placed to the devil when corrupt communication is coming out of our mouths. Corrupt communication is when we gossip. Corrupt communication is when we speak evil of another person. Corrupt communication is when we try to advance ourselves and put someone else down. Corrupt communication, again, is anything that takes away from God and points to ourselves in our lives. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. We need to do right. We need to have the right heart produces the right character in our lives. Go to Matthew chapter 26 for a moment and look at verse 73. Matthew 26. Well, preacher, speech doesn't really matter. Doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter. Well, look at what it says in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 73. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrought thee. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. We know the story of Peter denying Christ thrice. We know what took place. What did they say? You're with Jesus because of your speech. And Peter says, no, I'm not with Christ. And then he started using words and saying things that tried to identify him not with Christ. Speech makes a difference in your life. I tell you, we are living in a day where we as believers are compromising in our speech and we're not walking as we should walk in 2022. I tell you, I understand that some of the words and some of the things and the change and all that's happened. But let me tell you, when I talk, when you talk, a person ought to know that you're a believer and not of the world. I ought not to use the same things. Oh, there might be nothing wrong with those words, but we understand the connotations that goes along with those words. We understand what people have associated with those words. We understand what it means to some people in those things. Let me tell you, I got to make sure that the proper language, speech, proceeds out of this mouth. Why? Because what comes out of here should be blessings of my God, praises to my God, things of edifying one another, helping one another, not cursings, not those languages that people associate with the world. Now, some of you are from the older days. If someone talked very poorly, you would say they talk like a what? A sailor. Someone else says something else. Hillbilly. Or even a truck driver. Or some of the ones that are out there. But let me tell you, if someone talked that way, did they say they talk like a Christian? Did they say they talk like they belong to a local church? Did they talk about that they were different and set apart? No. They would say it's this sailor, the truck driver, or the hillbilly. It would say that's the way of talk, the way of speech. But a believer has a way of speech. Because remember, even when Paul and them were before those that were going to persecute them, they said, hey, there's something different about these guys. They're unlearned men, but they speak differently. They're different. They're transformed. And let me tell you, as a believer, we need to talk as we belong to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and our speech ought to be that which is glorifying to Him. And if we don't talk right, guess who's getting in? The devil's getting in. Look a little further here. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. This is humbling to most of us. Because most of us want to get the last word. Who likes to get the last word in? How many have ever seen some? Rich, you just pointed fingers. Let me share a verse with you, Rich. Lying lips are an abomination unto the Lord. All right? But a lot of people like to get the last word in, right? We're all guilty of that. That's one thing I do like. Dave can do his bad jokes, but I can get the last word in, all right? But the idea is this. Our speech is to minister grace to the hearer. It's to be soothing. Now, how many like a soothing voice? You know what I'm talking about? If you're having a hard day and that you like soothing. How many like soothing music? I tell you, one of music I enjoy besides music, hymns and that, I enjoy classical music. When I was a child, I used to go to sleep listening to classical music. I love, that was on the, you know, the old radios. You know what I'm talking about? It was not off my phone. We didn't have phones back then like that, right? We had those old big block clock radios, and they were about this big and brown, and you could turn them on, and you can. And I listen to classical music because it's soothing. Do you know our speech is to be edifying and soothing? It's to help. It's to heal. Now, how many of you have gotten a boo-boo before? A boo-boo. You hurt yourself. You've gotten hurt, all right? And you got it. Now, how many of you had the mean mama that didn't take the band-aid off really nice and easy, but they ripped it off? How many of you have had that? How many of you have done that to your own kids just for torture? All right, good. And you've done that. Now, if you rip something off, is it soothing? No, it hurts. Now, here's the idea. My speech is to help, not to hurt. It's to be soothing. It's to be helpful. I wanted to give you this little thought. Think before you speak. Is it truthful? T. Is it truthful? Is it helpful? Is it important? Is it necessary? Is it kind? I tell you, we need to think before we speak. Is it truthful, helpful, important, necessary, or kind in our speech? We need to make sure what we say, what we're doing, is going to help someone. It's going to heal someone. It's going to bring someone up. It's not going to tear someone down. We got to make sure if I'm not going to give place to the devil, if I'm going to be the help that I need to be in the local church, if I'm going to be walking the way I should in peace, then I'm going to try to edify someone. I'm going to help someone. I'm going to give them the help that they need. How do I give help with my speech? I share truths from the Word of God with them that will comfort their lives, help them in their lives. I make sure that I'm going to help them by giving them words of comfort from Scripture. Many individuals are struggling in their lives. And you know what we all need in our lives to help us? Is the healing tongue, not the hurting tongue. That's why James tells us this thing is uncontrollable. This thing is a fire. This thing will destroy. How many of you don't have to admit, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have been hurt by this? And how many of us have hurt someone by this? I think we're all guilty on both sides, right? Because what we've done, this gets out of control. And I'm not healing, I'm hurt. Because I'm in an issue. A circumstance. And I'm going to win that battle. And I'm not there to help. I might be 100% right. I might be 100% and 30% right. I might be totally right. And I'm going to make sure that everyone else knows I'm right. And I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to just let them know. And I'm going to let this thing cut and slice and destroy. That's not how we're to walk in 2022. I'm supposed to heal. I'm not supposed to hurt. I'm supposed to help. I'm not supposed to hinder. I'm supposed to edify. I'm not supposed to tear down. Now, we'll give this case in point, because none of you have ever had a disagreement with your spouse ever in your life. And none of you in this room have ever said anything you wish you never said. I understand. You guys are perfect, wonderful people and never done wrong. Never said a bad thing to your spouse. Owing words of love and gratitude all the time. At least you should follow my example and do that, all right? But you can laugh a little bit, all right? It's okay to laugh in church, all right? But what happens sometimes in the disagreements? We are. Now keep in mind the context. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon the wrath. Don't give place to the devil. Make sure that you're not stealing. Change of life. Don't be hypocritical. Oh, make sure you have the right speech. Because if I am not doing right, if I'm not dealing with the sin, what's going to happen out of my mouth? If I've given place to the devil, what's going to come out of my mouth? The wrong speech. Because if my heart isn't right, this isn't going to be right. Did you get that? If my heart isn't right, this isn't going to be right. If the devil has control, a spot, this isn't going to help. It's going to hinder. You ever met someone that just spews out of their mouth? That vomiting, like I said, walking around and vomit just comes out every time? I tell you, I like fountains. You ever gone to different places, they have beautiful fountains. We have one at the village. They have lights set to it and different things, and you have that. There's other places that have music set to them and all different things, and the fountains come out. But you know, our mouths are not to be fountains. We're just spewing out there in our lives. We're to help. We're not to hinder. But you get two people in a disagreement. They've given place to the devil. They're not, their heart's not right. Then their speech towards each other are not right. And instead of being able to go to bed at peace, there is division that comes. And there's problems that come because they haven't healed. They hindered. You all and I have had people say things to us that we wish they didn't. But if my heart's right, how do I respond back to that? The Bible says, turn the other cheek. You know what's interesting about it? It doesn't say turn the other cheek just once. The idea is a continual action. They hit this side, you turn and let them hit this side. You turn and let them hit this side. You turn and let them hit this side. And this side. You keep turning. The Bible says forgive, what, 70 times? 7. If my heart is right, now I got red marks on my face probably. If my heart is right, I'm going to help and heal. You know what we need as believers today? Be angry about sin, but help and heal. I'm going to give some practical things and then we're going to be done. We know what's going on in this world today. Most of us do not like what is going on in this world today. It's okay to be angry about some of the wickedness and some of the things happening in our day. But I need to let God give me a calmness in my spirit and a peace in my spirit. So as I go out, I walk differently than those that don't know Jesus Christ. I'm not going around being disrespectful. I'm not going around acting in a way that I shouldn't act. I'm going around with a peace that's on my life because I have given it over to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given me a calmness. I'm going to be different than what this world is doing. I'm going to handle it different than this world is. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to live in anger and wrath and malice, as we're going to talk about down the road. I'm going to walk the way I ought to walk. And as I'm walking, I'm not giving the devil place. I'm giving the Lord Jesus Christ honor and glory. And I'm not going to be able to tear away from my God. I'm going to lift up the name of my God. And as I'm going through, even though I don't like what I'm facing, no matter that I like what's happening in this world, no matter what I'm doing, I'm going to go ahead and try to heal the situation, not add fuel to the fire. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. I'm going to be able to give a soft answer. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to stand for right. I'm going to stand for truth. I'm going to stand for what I need to stand for. But I'm going to be seasoned with salt in my speech. And I'm going to talk and lift up and edify and heal. Because I can get angry. And I can spew out of my mouth about I don't like masks. I can spew out of my mouth that I don't like the vaccine. I can spew out of my mouth that I don't like that the government gives free money. I can spew out of my mouth all those different things. I can spew out of my mouth I don't like the governor. I don't like the mayors. I don't like this. I can spew out of my mouth all that stuff. And let me tell you, we can stand for right. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But let me ask you, if we're just spewing out and we're not helping, are we having a healing tongue or a hurting tongue? Oh, I can spew. I can let people know. I can have the righteous anger and I can be upset about all those issues that I mentioned. But I got to have a calmity that I can go to bed at night and not, and deal with it the way God wants me to deal with it. And then not allow it to affect me and affect my testimony, affect how I'm raising my children, affect how my home is. Affect. You see, what's happened is a lot of people today aren't dealing with this, aren't walking right. And it's not just they're allowing it to stew upon them and they're allowing it to be upon them and they're not handling it right. And it's tearing families apart. It's tearing homes apart. It's tearing churches apart. It's tearing communities apart. And what we need to be doing is having a healing tongue where we're going saying, hey, we don't like what is there, but there's one great physician who can fix it all. His name is Jesus. And we need to start turning people with our speech, with our mouth, to Jesus. And this is what Paul was saying to the church of Ephesus. People are giving place to the devil. People aren't talking right, doing right, acting right. But you need to use your mouth and you need to be responsible for you helping and edifying and healing. Be the help. Be the solution to the problem. Don't add to the problem. That's what Paul was saying. Be the solution to the problem. Don't make the problem bigger. And I believe a lot of times in our lives, even in this world that we're living in today, most of us are adding to the problem, not helping the problem. I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable in the sight of God. That you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Live in a way that glorifies God in 2022. Walk the way God has taught us to walk, but walk in peace. Because when I'm healing and I'm speaking right, there's a unity. We talked about unity, but there's a unity that comes. And I'm not being divisive. I'm helping to heal the situation. Be the solution.